Amen. What a privilege to be here. If you're hungry, you're okay. I won't preach long, okay? It doesn't take but 10, 15 minutes for me to run out of English, so it's fine. Okay? So let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, and I would like to say thank you, Brother Parsons. I feel honored to stand behind this pulpit. This place is a landmark for me and my family and my ministry. And it is good to see two of my biggest heroes, Dr. Mickey Carter, my champion. Wow. And then Brother Chad McMillan, the Bible man. My. And of course, Dr. Trujillo and Brother Valentin, precious man of God. And my biggest hero, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, my wife, Imelda, put up with me over 48 years now. She's a champion. The greatest champion I ever known. I spoke highly of my mom, precious lady, but somehow this young lady here is going beyond. And I love you, mija. Let's stand. I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach. I'm blessed. Hear good preaching already. And you have to pardon my English. I'm a Mexican. Can't help it. Amen? And can't help it. I promise the Lord that I will not preach in English again until I get the English right. But I see most of you haven't got it right either. So I guess it's okay. Amen? I guess it's okay for a Mexican just to give it a try. Amen? Amen. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. This is one of my favorites. My baby, I love this message. It means a lot to me. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Beginning in verse 39, Luke 23, 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." And then, looking at Jesus, he said, "But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Not then, not when I come back." Today shall thou be with me in paradise. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the goodness. Oh, good meeting. I'm blessed beyond measure. And I pray you use me just to be a blessing. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll give you the title of the message a little bit farther on, but let me say this. Here we find the Lord Jesus in the cross at Calvary, dying for the sins of the whole world. Humanly speaking, I see the Lord Jesus in the most precarious of his condition. He's bleeding. He's in agony. He's suffering. He's about to die. I say, humanly speaking, this was the weakest moment of his life. And yet, at this moment, he was still mighty to save. Oh, what a Savior we have! What a Savior we have! What a Savior! I always say this, and people criticize me, and I love to preach around the cross. That's my life. That's where I got saved. And I say this, and you disagree with me, it's fine. You're wrong. But I'll say this. Not even in heaven I will see the majesty of Jesus as I see it in the cross of Calvary. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, what a Savior! Oh, what a Savior! Here we find a dying thief, a malefactor. The word malefactor is one word made of two. Mal means evil, and factor means factory, doer. He was an evil doer, a worker of iniquity. Not somebody that just committed something, but a criminal career. He was a malefactor. And this man, I believe he's already feeling the flames of hell in the plant of his feet, in the sole of his feet. He had lived a rough life. We glamour the life of the criminals, but it's a rough life. A lot of pain and suffering. How do you know? Been there, done that. He lived a rough life, and he ends his life in shame, nailed to a cross. And when he's about to sink into eternity, into a devil's hell, something happened in his heart. Repentance. God intervenes, and this man recognizes that the one in the middle cross was the Lord. Right. Stay with me. He looked at Jesus, and he say, Lord, and I love this. This is the first friendly word that Jesus heard in Calvary. All he can hear is just criticism, mockery, revile. But then he hears the word, Lord. Wow. And I see this, and I love this. It's like this man look at Jesus, and he said, I don't see you dressed with royalty. Right. Right. I see you practically naked. But in my heart, something is telling me that you are the Lord. Right. Right. I don't see a scepter in your hand. Right. I see nails in your hand. But to me, something tells me that you are the Lord. I don't see a crown of gold. I see a crown of thorns. But there's something that tells me that you are the Lord. I don't see you sitting in a throne. I see you hanging on a cross. But my heart is telling me that you are the Lord. Wow. Wow. It's incredible. This man also recognized that his life was not going to be over after he died. He recognized that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. Amen. He will come back. Right. He also believed in the second coming of the Lord. Amen. Yeah, keep going. Yeah. He believed that he was going to set up a throne on earth. Lord have mercy, this thief knew more theology than most Bible professors. We ought to give him a doctor's degree. And when he say, Lord, he did not ask for position, anything. He simply say, Lord, just have me in your memory. When you come back, remember me. And the Lord looked at him and said, not when I come back, today, amen. today, yeah. You'll be in heaven with me. You'll be in paradise. Yeah. I always preach the beauty of the salvation of this thief. But one day God gave me a different message from a different point of view. And I titled this message, A Sad Story. The story of this man, a sad story. And you say, Brother Gomez, you lost your mind or what? What's sad about getting saved, having your sins forgiven, going to heaven to live with Christ forever and ever? What's sad about it? Well, after you hear the message, you might agree with me. First of all, the story of this man is a sad story because this man never had a chance to make things right with his family. Bear with me. From the cross, he went to heaven. What a sad story. You have to agree with me, this man was an embarrassment to his family. Criminals bring a lot of shame and pain to the whole family. I don't know, he had a wife and children. Let's suppose he did. He's in prison and his little boy will ask mom, where is daddy? And you know, mom will give the classical. Oh, he went to a different state to work, and he'll come back. He'll bring a lot of money, buy you a lot of toys, and all along he was behind bars. But we don't know for sure he had children and wife. But one thing we know for sure he had a mom. Can I say this? And I'm painful to say it, but I caused a lot of pain to my mom. I was only 12 when I began a life of sin. And my life went down the drain. Unfortunately, all my brothers followed my steps and even became worse than me. It began with alcohol and a little bit of drugs here and there, stealing, cheating, fighting. And before you know it, hard drugs, even killings in the family. All my four brothers follow my steps. There was a time that out of the five boys, four were in prison at the same time. Think of my mom. My father died when I was 8. She raised 7 children by herself. She worked hard to provide for all of us. And then we turned bad. I remember my mom having epileptic attacks. She would fall to the ground and roll over in the dust and foam coming out of her mouth. And believe me, there was no sickness in my mom. It was just the pain that we were inflicting on her. I remember the last time I got out of prison. I didn't want to go home because I didn't want to see the face of my mom. I was so embarrassed. But I had nowhere to go, so I went home. And I remember she looked at me, and she was very happy to see me. And she gave me a hug and a kiss. And I remember I walked outside the house, little bit of house, small house, sat on the porch in a bench falling apart like my life. Then I heard some knocking at the gate. There were two men there. They had a black book in their hands. And this man came in and preached to me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was so surprised that God would love such a sinner as me that I couldn't believe it. They walk away, but the message did not walk away. It stayed with me. And about 3 months later, I went to a little bit of church, small mission, and sat in the back, and I heard the preacher preach about Calvary again. And when the invitation was given, I came to the altar and asked Jesus to come into my heart, and he came in and he saved me and he changed my life. He changed my life. And I remember when I got up from my knees for the first time in my life, I felt clean, I felt free. And I didn't check nobody's hands. When I felt that way, immediately I took off running to my house. And I went to my small house. It was just dirt floor, small. My mom was by the stove, and I remembered running in. And I went to my knees and grabbed my mom. And I said, "Mommy, sorry. I've been a bad boy. I know I caused you a lot of pain. But Mommy, tonight something happened to me. The Lord Jesus came and he changed my life. Mommy, you have a new wife. You don't have to worry about me no more." My mom couldn't believe it. Didn't know how to react. But eventually, my mom came to Christ. Amen. And she became the greatest prayer warrior I ever met in my life. A giving, sacrificial giver, soul winner. And then all my brothers, one by one, they all came to Christ also. Amen. What a sad story this man. Never had a chance to go tell his family what happened to him. Yeah. You know, your story will be even saddest because you know you got some relatives, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, and you haven't told them about Christ. Right. At least this man didn't have time. You have plenty of time in your hand. Not only is a sad story because this man never had a chance to make things right with his family, but also to make things right with his friends. You know, as well as I do, we are influence to others. And I can recall, preacher, I can recall at least three men, young boys, 16, 17, 18, that died and went to hell because of my bad influence. They follow me. And in some gang fightings, they lost their lives. and they will be in hell forever because of my bad influence. But what can I do? I did not know any better. But after I got saved, I knew better. Amen. And I went to all my friends and told them about Christ. And I can say this easily, just going to mention two, three. Juan Becerra grew up with me in my neighborhood. He was so astonished that I got saved. Couldn't believe it. He came to church and he got saved. Amen. We started our first church in Matamoros, and he's no longer little Johnny, and now he's Dr. Juan Becerra. He pastors that church. Big church. Runs about 9 buses Sunday morning, runs over 500 people, and special days over 1,000 people in Sunday school. And he was an old friend that I had the blessing to be an influence to bring him to Christ. We used to have a baseball team. We played ball. Oh, we love it. And there was a man, Narciso Cerda, a third baseman. We call it the Brooke Robinson of Mexico. Oh, he was a third baseman. Oh, he was a player. He got saved. And now he's an evangelist, and he's preaching the gospel everywhere. And I can go on and on and on. I had the privilege not only to be saved, but God gave me the privilege to lead several of my friends to Christ. I know it's about time, and I still got 3 points to go. I will run quickly, okay? But I love this one. And it's a sad story because this man never had a chance to do anything in the work of God. What a sad story. Can I say this? I'm glad that the God that pulled me out of the garbage can one day pulled me out of my business and called me to preach. Amen. What a privilege. From the pit to the pulpit. Amen. What a privilege. What a privilege to be involved in the work of God. Amen. I had my own business. I was doing fine, living the American dream in Dallas, Texas, making good money. Had my wife, 2 little children. And I was doing mighty fine, living the American dream. But God called me back to my country to be a missionary. And we surrendered everything, went back to Mexico almost 50 years ago. We have no regrets. God's been good to us. All together with my family, my brothers, my nephews, God has helped us to plant over 100 churches now. Amen. What a privilege. After planting churches in the cities and the small towns, I went to the fishing villages. By the way, I used to live in the fishing villages when I was a kid. And I remember God laying in my heart the fishing villages. And when I went to the fishing villages, say, we're going to establish some churches here. And I remember when I walked in the fishing villages, we invited people, and I told them, I got a great news to tell you. All the fishermen come. And there was hundreds of them that came. The first message, I won't forget it, that I preached in the fishing villages, I say, listen to me, fishermen. The Lord Jesus has a special touch for fishermen. By the way, his ministry, he started it in the fishing villages. And I went on and on. I said, the greatest men that ever called to preach were fishermen. Some of the writers of the book of God were fishermen. God loves fishermen. And hundreds of them came and got saved. And then went one church after another after another. What a privilege to be involved in the work of God. This man died in the prime of his life without ever having a chance to be involved in the work of God. Can I say to you, young man, I don't know you in the ministry full time, but this is the greatest work under heaven. Amen. Be involved in the work of God. What a privilege. What a blessing. I mean, I'm the servant. What a God we have. 1987, an Indian man, Aztec Indian, got saved. And he came to me and he said, Pastor, can we go to the mountains to preach to my family in the mountains of the Aztec Indians? And when I went there, I knew there were some Aztec Indians in Mexico, but I did not know there were 29 million spread all over the mountains, and 99.9% of them never had a clear presentation of the gospel. I remember walking in the mountains, and when I saw the river, the Indians, nothing but idol worship, alcohol, just pain, suffering, darkness, ignorance. And we began to preach, and now by the grace of God, God has helped us to establish over 20 churches amongst the Aztec Indians. God not only saved me, but gave me the privilege to be involved in the work of God. Can I say this? The Bible. Dr. Mickey Carter, thank you. I know you pay a tremendous price to take a stand for the Spanish Bible. But let me tell you this, preacher. We already reached way beyond the 3 million mark of complete Bibles printed and distributed. Every single day I receive letters, emails, pictures, videos. Every single day, people saying, look, we led these people to the Lord using the Gomez Bible. Said, never been easier for us to talk about hell or heaven like it is right now. By the way, the word Lord that I mentioned here is not in the other Spanish Bibles. It's omitted. So I cannot preach about Lord without this Bible. Not only in that point, but in many other places, the word Lord, Christ, Jesus, God is omitted more than 30 times. And to me, one time is enough. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Carter, for paying a price. We pay a little bit of price, but I'm telling you, oh, God owes nobody nothing. God's been good. We lost immediately when we announced that we're going to do the revision of the Spanish Bible. We immediately lost about 60% of our support, and he kept losing support. Some of my preacher friends that I preach meetings for them every year sent a message to preachers telling me that I was no longer welcome in the fellowship and the meetings, and I was out forever. It was good. It was good. It was good. And one thing, and Dr. Carter knows this, never got bitter about it. Because I know, as preacher said today, if we have his presence, God is enough. God is enough. And believe me, he made up for all the things that I lost. And more, and multiply, and it keeps growing and growing. God's been good. To God be the glory. Amen. Let me finish with this. By the way, talking about study Bible, I already done a study Bible. It's been printed right now. We put several, only the good ones, the notes of Scofield. Only the ones that were good, the ones that were bad, we corrected them, changed them, and we had our own notes, and it's being printed right now. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's amazing what God has done. It's amazing what God has done. And believe me, when I say 3 million, I'm being conservative, just for people not to criticize us. But even if they do, that's fine. It's more than twice. To God be the glory. You say, I heard this man going missionary to Belarus. This Bible was printed in Belarus. Our Bible's been printed now in 9 different countries. Parallel with the King James, parallel with the with you, will you believe, with the Hebrew? Wow. Wow. Let me finish with this. This man never had a chance to give anything to the Lord. He went to heaven without ever experiencing how he feels to give sacrificially to the Lord. Never had a chance to give something extra special to the one that gave his life for him. Preacher, I know I'm done. Let me give you just one more illustration, okay? Thank you. And I lie, right, when I say I will run out of English pretty soon. Well, amen. But giving is divine. Let me say this, giving is divine. If you are not a giver, don't get mad. I will doubt your salvation. I didn't hear amen, well, one here. No, you are not saved by giving, but something happens. When Christ comes to your heart, you see, we are born takers, all of us. And when Jesus moves in and you start giving, that means the greatest giver has moved into your life. My grandson was born and I saw his hand and I look at him. Look at his hand, Chavi. And I say, I know this hand. I was looking at my grandboy. And then I look at my hand, his. I mean, copy and paste. I say, he's got my DNA. You know why God says that he loved the cheerful giver? Because he sees your hand. He said, this boy got my DNA. That boy is mine. He's a giver. If you're stingy, I'm sorry, you are not going to become a friend. You'll be my acquaintance and we'll fellowship, but my friends are givers. Giving is divine. Let's all stand. Can I ask you, what will be your story? Make it a good story. This man never had a chance, but you and I have plenty of chance, plenty of time. Let's do something for his glory. Preacher.